Oh, come, let us adore him. A many Advent and Christmas blessings to you all in the name of our Savior. The text before us is from the Old Testament, the 40th chapter of Isaiah. We hear the first five verses. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We pray. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make us beds soft, undefiled within our hearts, that they may be quiet chambers kept for thee. Amen. You may be seated. Where do you find comfort this time of year? Maybe for some of you, you are finding comfort in the fact that the semester is almost over. And then that also means that maybe you are graduating and moving on from here and going to start a new part of your life. Or maybe you are looking forward and finding comfort in the fact that you know January brings about a whole new fresh start in semester. Maybe some of you are finding comfort in the fact that now you get to go back home by mom and dad for a few weeks. Maybe you'll get to have some of those home-cooked meals you've been missing. You're going to get to see friends and family maybe you haven't seen in a little while. You're going to get to sleep in your own room and in your own bed where no alarm clock is going to be allowed. Maybe faculty and staff, you too are looking forward to the fact and finding comfort in knowing that in a few days the semester's over and that for you too, January will bring a fresh and new start with a new semester. Where are you finding your comfort this time of year? Isaiah writes, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. And then you have those beautiful words of gospel and comfort in verse 2. But then that's followed by that very familiar Advent prophecy. The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That prophecy, quoted in the Gospels by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was the prophesying of the coming of the New Testament Elijah, the coming and birth of John the Baptizer. Now, typically, we don't think of comfort and John the Baptizer going together. John very much was like his Old Testament counterpart, the prophet Elijah. These two men had a number of things in common. Comfort wasn't one of them. Both were prophets of God sent by him to his own people. Both were given a message of law and a calling for repentance. And because both of them preached this message, both of them had women troubles. Elijah preached against Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and as a result, Queen Jezebel made Elijah number one on Israel's most wanted list. John's preaching struck a nerve with Herodias, so much so that when she finally got the chance, she had his head cut off. Here in these verses, God is saying that he wants comfort delivered to his people, and in the same breath, he's also then saying, I'm going to send to you a great prophet and preacher of the law. Find comfort in the law? When I just asked the question, where do you find comfort this time of year? Did you picture all of a sudden in your mind the Ten Commandments, God's holy law, a calling for repentance? Well, let's see. Stop saying, tweeting, and texting OMG in TGIF. And stop asking God to damn that hammer or that thing that you tripped over when you hurt yourself, because that's misusing God's name. Your parents didn't come with you to college, whether you're here as a student or if you're working here. Of course, though, we're Lutheran, so maybe you are related to somebody that's your parent. But all because they didn't come to college with you doesn't mean that you aren't supposed to get up out of bed and go to worship or read your Bible, because you know what? That's not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Speaking of your parents, again, they may not be here, and yet God has put an authority over every one of us in this room. It doesn't matter if it's the professor over the student or the Board of Regents over our administration. And you know what? No, it doesn't matter if you always agree with them or not, because guess what? They are God's authority over you. Hate is murder, period. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to justify it. If you're not married, you're not supposed to be having sex. Period. If you're not married to that person on the screen, you're not supposed to be looking at them. Stop it. Yes, I understand that your roommate or your coworker or your classmate or your teammate has hurt you maybe in some sort of way. But their sinful actions don't justify you going out and slandering their name and giving them a bad reputation. God has chosen to give you what he wants to give you. And so be thankful and content and stop lusting after everything that you don't have and praise God for everything that you do have. And now stop all of these sins right now so that your faith doesn't shrink and die. Because yes, I know it's cold outside, but I'm pretty sure none of us here want to spend time in the heat of hell. So did you find comfort in the law? I don't. I hear the law and it causes my sinful nature to cringe. And I'm guessing the same is true for each one of us that is in this building today. The law takes our sinful flesh and it takes our unholy pride and it makes it low. And as a result, the law is not very comforting. And yet, in that sense, it kind of is, isn't it? No, the law in and of itself, when it's preached to you and me, no, it proclaims our wretched state. It does not bring us comfort. But see, once we have been brought low like the mountains in the hills, then comfort is ours. And the one who gives us this comfort is the same one who is speaking to us, his New Testament Jerusalem, here with these words in our text. When Jesus came down from heaven, and he was incarnate. When he took on our flesh, that brought us comfort. That first Christmas, when Jesus became our brother in the flesh, he brought us comfort because he warred against the armies of hell. And it eventually, yes, it cost him his perfect life as he suffered our death on the cross. But see, because he did that for you and for me, the result is that now, as Isaiah says, our spiritual warfare has ended because our Savior defeated sin, death, and hell. You and I, we have comfort now and forever because God's Son also chose to become Mary's Son that first Christmas. And in doing so, every one of your iniquities, all those sins that I just mentioned here a few moments ago, every one of your sins has been washed away by the blood of Christ and in the waters of holy baptism. And because your iniquity, as Isaiah says here, has been pardoned, we receive the opposite of what our sins deserve. No, because your sins have been forgiven, you receive eternal life and salvation. And as Isaiah points out, that is doubly more than what we deserve in our sinfulness. You and I here today, we have comfort now and forever because Emmanuel, God with us, is the glory that has been revealed to us now. As we're going to remember here in just a few weeks, Jesus, the glorious one, was revealed to be the Savior of all in Bethlehem's manger. That same Savior is revealed to you and me again and again. in the flesh, as Isaiah says, as we gather around and find him in his word, and as we receive his own body and blood, born of Mary, in his holy supper, so that you and I, we have the assurance every single day that he will give us comfort when we're hurting, when we're struggling. Whether that hurt or struggle is because right now of your classes and these last few days of finals, or because of somebody that you're working with right now, or maybe you're hurting because you know you have to go back home and you don't want to see some of that family. Maybe your hurt and struggle is caused by the people you've been living with this semester. Professors, maybe it's your students. Students, maybe it's your professors. Whatever it may be, because Christ came that first Christmas, you have comfort in that Christ child. So where are you looking for comfort this time of year? For many of you, it's going to be comforting to finish the semester, to go home and see the family, and to celebrate Christmas with a lot less stress than maybe you've been struggling with these past few months. But if you and I want to truly have comfort this time of year, we need to look to the Christ child, God's son, Mary's son, Emmanuel, God with us. Because only he, in his life and death, given to you in the means of grace, can give you the comfort that you need. And so look to that comfort, grab hold and keep that comfort this whole year. And then when you see that you've done that, then you're going to find that you too will be able to find comfort and joy because the tests are almost over. And that home-cooked meal is there going to be waiting for you. And you're going to get a little bit of a break. And then may you go home in that comfort, and may Christ's comfort go with you, and then may he please, in his grace, bring you back to us safely. Merry Christmas. Amen.
rise for prayer. O God of all comfort, we give you glory and honor for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill all your promises. By your grace, send us now preachers of repentance who will make us a people prepared to receive him in faith. Lead us to rejoice in his coming in the flesh to accomplish all things for our salvation. Fill us with hope that we may be in constant readiness for the day of his coming again. Grant us your Spirit, that we may live as those who know that he who has come is with us now, that we may be with him when all shall behold his coming. In his name we ask.
Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.